Mr. Speaker.
Order, order.
Parliament's adjourned for a week, taking a short breather after a four-week sitting period that began with Finance Minister Bill English presenting his eighth budget and ended with him keeping a tight hold on the purse strings by killing off a members' bill that would have added $70 million a year to extend paid parental leave from 18 to 26 weeks over the next 4 years. That's less than 1% of total annual government spending of $80 billion, of which about a fifth will be spent on health, although whether that's more or less in real terms remained in dispute as the battle between health ministers past and present continued in Tuesday's question time.
Oh, he's such a nasty little man. Little man.
Well, Mr. Speaker, why doesn't that member admit that she keeps on making up figures which are completely untrue?
Health Minister Jonathan Coleman and his Labour shadow, Annette King, carried their fight into the committee rooms the next day, although now back on first-name terms.
Please say, Annette, these
yes,
are...
Jonathan.
Yeah, well, you can call me Jonathan.
Yes, good.
With that. These are the
can
same figures
you
used...
Okay?
Oh, you, yeah, you can too, yeah.
But it didn't last.
Come on,
hey,
Minister.
You know what? If that's
maybe
the strongest question today,
no,
I think
Minister,
it's be a
Minister,
good
you
right.
can just you yeah. can just have some questions and for yep. once try to
okay,
stop
no,
the
no.
abuse
We're
and
stop.
Answer
no,
questions.
No, no.
Back in the chamber, Mrs. King's questions for the minister included this one:
why not admit that he's been caught out trying to cover up accumulated shortfalls in the health budget since 2010-11, affecting people like Sharon Cooper, in desperate need of knee surgery, and has been declined three times in the last year so far?
The Honourable Dr. Jonathan Coleman.
Well, Mr. Speaker, why doesn't that member admit that she keeps on making up figures which are completely untrue? I don't know Sharon Cooper, but rather than exploiting that person, why doesn't she ring up my office and we can see if we can do something for her? Of course, when you're losing the argument on funding, you try personal attacks.
Yeah. That's calling the kettle black.
Order.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Order.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Annette King.
I seek leave to table my letter to the Minister of Health, writing about Sharon Cooper on his request, which he hasn't bothered to reply to
order,
yet, Mr.
The last,
Speaker.
The last part. Order. The date of the letter, please.
31st of May.
Okay.
Come on.
Now we have to leave the matter. Order. Order. Leave us sought to table a letter from the member to the minister dated the 31st of May. Is there any objection to it being tabled? There is not objection, it can be tabled.
Greens co-leader James Shaw adopted a similar tactic on Wednesday when dissatisfied with the Prime Minister's answer to one of his questions on homelessness.
I seek leave to table Otago University research from June the 3rd, 2016 that shows that homelessness in New Zealand has grown 25%.
I will put the leave. Leave is sought to table that particular University of Otago research. Is there any objection to it being tabled? There is objection.
Mr. Shaw complained to the Speaker, David Carter.
It's becoming an increasing tactic of the Prime Ministers and the governments to answer questions simply by quibbling the numbers in the opposition's questions, knowing full well that we're not able to table the data afterwards. And I'm just wondering if you think that that is an adequate way of responding to questions.
Mr. Carter heard from the government's leader of the House.
Oh, I'll hear from the Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it is the prerogative of the House to choose... any member, in fact, can decide that they do not want to support the tabling of information. This particular information is not reliable. We do know about it. And it has, for example, people living with relatives recorded as homeless.
I was ever hopeful that it might have been a helpful point of order. But
the Speaker then gave Mr. Shaw some advice.
Once a member, in putting forward a supplementary question, decides to include some figures, then it's always the option of a minister or a prime minister to then dispute the question. So my advice to the members to think whether he could tighten questions up, don't include such statistics unless they're essential to the question, and at least then it doesn't give the opportunity for a minister in responding to dispute the questions. On the final point raised by Mr. Brownlee, he is quite right. I decide whether to put the leave. I put the leave. It is the prerogative of any member to then decide to decline that leave.
And so the Greens co-leader dropped the fancy footwork and went for the jugular.
When was the last time that the Prime Minister walked down Queen Street or Lambton Quay or Colombo Street and noticed the growing number of people sleeping in shop doorways and thought to himself, this is the brighter future I promised 8 years ago?
Yeah, right, Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, Mr Speaker, as I go around New Zealand, what I do see is a country that is a lot more confident in itself. It sees high growth around the country. I see a lot of optimism and people benefiting from the National-led government. And I think that's why this government's enjoyed the kind of electoral support we have.
You see the people sleeping in doorways, does he?
Order.
And following Mrs King's success in highlighting the plight of one individual, her caucus colleague, Grant Robertson, tried this question on Finance Minister Bill English.
Has the Minister seen any reports about the fact that the economy has delivered an increase in homelessness in the largest cities in New Zealand and has delivered to an 11-year-old girl who only wants to do her homework the prospect of living in a car with six other people? And when will he stop being so arrogant about the economy?
The last part is not necessary. The Honourable Bill English.
Well, Mr Speaker, I can assure the member that we will not be exploiting the complexity and vulnerability of that child and her family. And the member, before he raises that issue publicly, ought to go and consult with the family to ensure that this is what they want for their child.
Although Bill English was on his feet answering questions on Thursday, no one asked him about his use of the financial veto to prevent the passing of Sumaroni's paid parental leave bill, announced before question time by the Speaker.
Members, the government has delivered to the clerk a certificate not concurring in the parental leave and employment protection 6 months paid leave amendment bill. The bill may still be debated, but the Speaker will not put a question on the third reading at the conclusion of the debate.
It's the first time since the veto was introduced in 1996 to give the government complete control over its spending in the new multi-party parliaments elected under MMP that it's been used to stop a whole bill in its tracks, although it's frequently deployed to block amendments to legislation that would have more than a minor impact on the government's overall financial position. In this case, though, it has the added benefit of avoiding another government defeat on a members' night, when Sumaroni's bill has been steadily advancing on the narrow margin of 61 to 60 that the three main opposition parties have when their combined 58 votes are supplemented by the 3 votes of the Māori Party and United Futures Peter Dunn. Having seen her hopes of extending paid parental leave to 26 weeks supported by that coalition of parties over the past 4 years, Ms Moroney reminded the House that her bill also had numbers outside the House.
I seek leave to table a petition signed by 16,085 people for Parliament for John Key and Bill English to respect Parliament's will and the needs of children and their families and not veto the bill extending paid parental leave to 26 weeks.
Leave us talk to table that petition. Is there any objection? There is no objection. It can be tabled.
And will be filed without being referred to a select committee. Talking of which, here's Rhys Lyon.
Select committees continued their scrutiny of this year's budget allocations for government departments during the week, with ministers called on to front up to defend their spending plans. Among them was Justice and Courts Minister Amy Adams.
In budget this year, we have had an investment of more than $208.4 million. That's the biggest increase into the vote for almost a decade. And in addition to that figure today, I'm also going to be announcing that Budget 16 included a commitment of sufficient new funding to fund the restoration of Dunedin's historic courthouse.
Appearing before the Justice and Electoral Committee, Ms Adams faced questions from committee members about the Cabinet's decision not to inflation-adjust compensation for Taina Pora for his wrongful conviction. Ms Adams stood by the government's decision to pay Mr Pora $100,000 for each year he was in prison.
The $100,000 actually still sits very well in terms of international measures for the amounts of compensation. Actually, in the UK, if you've had more than 10 years in prison, your total compensation is capped at £1 million. If you're in the US, the annual rate is somewhere between $18,000 and $100,000 across different states. And I've made it very clear that Cabinet is of the view, as other governments have been, that the system is best served when there is a standard system and approach that is applied across every case. The Cabinet doesn't start picking and choosing.
Justice Minister Amy Adams. And appearing before the Health Committee this week, Health Minister Jonathan Coleman outlined his ministry's goals.
This government has focused very much on results, and that's why we've been, you know, absolutely committed to delivery against health targets. And when you look at performance, I think it's very clear that that has been a justified approach. So access to elective surgery.
A question on that came from Labor's health spokeswoman and health committee member, Annette King.
You quote the 50,000 extra electives. How many of the 50,000 were done under Labor's 2008-09 budget, which you actually continue to include in your figures?
Yeah, how many do you reckon?
About 12,000.
No, well, I don't think that's right. I mean,
but why do you include Labor's figures in your 50,000?
Basically, if you look at that 50,000, there's been a huge increase from the time when Labor were managing elective surgery.
Meanwhile, over at the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee, Defence Minister Gerry Brownlee gave a roundup of highlights of the past year for the New Zealand Army, including this.
We recently carried out a very large exercise in Fiji following Cyclone Winston, largest deployment of New Zealand troops to one place since the Second World War.
But that claim didn't sound right to Labour Party committee member Phil Goff.
We had a whole battalion in Timor-Leste. How could it be the largest ever?
Well, I'll tell you what, if that's the worst I do today, then I'm happy about it. What's the story there?
largest humanitarian assistance.
Oh, humanitarian. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. My sincere apologies, Mr. Chairman, for slipping a word out of my pre-prepared notes. And well done, Mr. Goff. It's incredibly sharp of you. Bodes better for Auckland than I had thought. But anyway,
Defence Minister Gerry Brownlee. Also this week, a handful of government bills passed their first readings and were sent to select committees for scrutiny, where they'll be subject to public submissions. The Children, Young Persons and Their Families Advocacy, Workforce and Age Settings Amendment Bill, which among other things raises the state care leaving age from 17 to 18, was referred to the Social Services Committee to be reported back by October the 17th. The Local Government Act 2002 Amendment Bill number 2 was referred to the Local Government and Environment Committee to be reported back by October the 28th. And the Contract and Commercial Law Bill and a Taxation Bill were sent off to the Justice and Electoral and Finance and Expenditure Committees respectively. To make a submission on bills before select committees, go to our website parliamenttoday.co.nz and click on Make Submission at the top of the page.
That report from Rhys Lyon. Back in the chamber, the week began with this motion from the Prime Minister, John Key.
Speaker, I move that the House express sympathy with the victims of the Orlando shooting. This is a shocking atrocity, and on behalf of all New Zealanders, I'd like to express our country's sincere condolences to those affected by it.
Speaking for the Greens there, Gay MP Kevin Haig.
An attack against one of us is an attack against all of us. I want to name this as an act of homophobic violence.
New Zealand First leader Winston Peters had a different view.
We in New Zealand First are opposed to religious extremism in any form. And this atrocity resulted from Islamic extremism by a terrorist whose family had sought shelter in the United States.
Immigration came up again on Tuesday in an application to the Speaker for a snap debate.
I have received a letter from Andrew Little seeking to debate Understanding Order 389, the announcement of the decision to increase the refugee quota to 1,000.
Mr. Carter said the issue met two of the criteria for snap debates, but said it also had to justify the House setting aside its usual business, and there would be other opportunities for debate.
The estimates debate must be held before the end of August, and that provides an opportunity to debate the economic and infrastructure sector, which includes immigration and refugee resettlement.
Mr. Carter noted that the new policy did not come into effect for 2 years.
There will be several other wide-ranging debates that provide opportunities to address this issue. For example, there will be a debate on the Prime Minister's statement and another budget debate before the policy comes into force. On that basis, I cannot accept the matter requires the urgent attention of the House despite its importance. The application is therefore declined.
Finally, a look ahead with the Leader of the House.
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Mr. Speaker, when the House resumes on Tuesday the 28th of June, The government will look to complete the appropriation 2015-16 supplementary estimates bill, the impress supply first for 2016-17 bill, and a number of other bills in the order paper. Wednesday will be a Members' Day.
And when we last looked, the Members' Order paper was still topped by the third and final reading of Sue Moroney's Paid Parental Leave Bill. For its part, the government got three bills passed this week, the Coroner's Amendment Bill and two bills enabling the use of some 40 hectares of the Riccarton Racecourse to be developed for housing. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.